name, please?
Edward Wallace Granville.
And where were you born? What was your date and place of birth?
I was born in Halifax in 1924.
Okay. Yeah. And when did you attend St. Mary's?
I attended St. Mary's in high school from 1936 to 1939.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what were the academics like at the school in those years?
I don't know whether I would... We were the Irish Christian Brothers were the people that were teaching at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And they were strict,
yes.
But we loved them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was thought to have a good standard in high schools. In my college, I suppose it would be it would not have been as it wouldn't have been considered as high a level. And St. Mary's has developed a great deal since then. But I think they had competent people, but you had small staff and small student body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we were in high school. We were about the whole place. This is up in Windsor Street, more or less where St. Pat's is now,
mm-hmm.
and the St. Vincent's Guest House. And I suppose all told, we were not much more than about 350 students, high school and college.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they even back then they had. They had pre-engineering, they had science, and they had arts. But it was all in one small building, you know. We were all fitted in with a shoehorn, and they had boarding students there, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
So where did those students come from?
Well, I'd say a good number came from, scattered around the Maritime Provinces, but a good number from Newfoundland, and a sprinkling from Maine. And the same kinds of people that maritime institutions draw now wouldn't be that many from outside the Atlantic region,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the American Atlantic or Canadian Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
I lived out in Bedford at that time, so I used to have my little meal with the boarders then.
Oh.
And so I knew them fairly well.
How did you commute in?
Bus.
Bus?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Or hitchhiked.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. So what size were your classes?
We would have, in the high school, we had two grade nines, and they're about 30 in each, two grade tens, about the same. And then it shrunk a bit in grade 11. I suppose we were about one class of about 40.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was no grade 12. You went right into the freshman. It was 4-year arts, part of arts, science, and the engineering and commerce. They had to then.
So, what were the length of your days when you were in class?
Well, it'd be from 9 o'clock till 3 o'clock, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we had off. I think we had an hour off from the meal, maybe an hour and a half. I don't remember.
Okay. So, what were the recreational activities that went on in the
school? Well, we had, I suppose we, they had, it was just boys then, of course.
Yeah.
And so we had soccer, rugger, didn't play Canadian football then. A lot of handball, you know, not handball in the Olympic sense, but playing against these, you know, up against sort of courts, the big alleys we had. Yeah, the Irish Christian Brothers played a lot of handball themselves, so we had two handball courts. We had a rink that we called the Roarum. It was a small, natural ice, and in those days, of course, there was only Halifax Forum and the old arena on Pepperell Street, and it was natural ice, and the Halifax Forum was artificial ice. And that's all we had in Halifax, so it was not. We were quite advanced, even though it was a small rink. It was smaller than regulation. We had a lot of fun in it.
Mm-hmm.
There were tennis courts, three tennis courts there. There was no basketball played at all.
No.
I think, events like, there was a certain amount of track and field, but the main thing would be rugger, English rugby, hockey. Those would be the main things that people would be interested in. And the other things were just fringe things, you know, like ping pong and pool, by a shooting pool. And
what other clubs and activities?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember. I know that we had class officers, and I think we had student union of some sorts, and an athletic association. And I don't know that we had much more than that.
Mm.
Yeah. It was a different era altogether. We were right in the heart of the Depression. We didn't get over the Depression in Nova Scotia until the war started, really. I knew that because I used to be a bill collector, and I used to try to get, my father was a doctor out in Bedford, and we used to try to get $1 off. As soon as the accounts were 6 years old, my father would just give me, try to get $1 from each person. And there's no chance of getting even a dollar from the family until the war started, and the husbands went into the services, and then money could start coming back in. So people were just surviving. I don't think people felt themselves terribly deprived, but there was absolutely no luxury. Yeah.
So what were the family backgrounds of the students that were at the school?
We had to pay. So that in addition to paying taxes, we had to pay. So I think it might have meant that they were a middle class. If you're poor, you probably couldn't come. But there were always some poor students there, somehow subsidized by somebody. We never knew who they were. And they're usually kids that had done very well in the elementary system.
Mm-hmm.
And it just came to the attention of somebody, and they got somebody to sponsor them. But I don't think there were anybody that was rich there, because it was the facilities were really just awful.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I don't know how old the building was, but you know, nothing was properly painted or anything. The reason I know how awful they were is that when I came back here to teach, we had not yet moved, St. Mary's had not yet moved from Windsor Street to Gorsbrook, mm-hmm. campus, as we called it. And we had to stay up there one summer while the building was being prepared down here. And so you realize just what you were leaving and what you were getting into. So I was in the first group to teach when they moved down to presently the McNally building, you know. That's all we had then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was a tremendous thrill to go down there, even though we started teaching there with, there's no windows. We had the space for the windows, of course, and you'd be teaching, there'd be no doors in the room.
Mm-hmm.
We went down about 10 days late to start off with. We had postponed the starting of classes. And then you'd be somebody out grinding terrazzo outside on the stairwell while you're trying to teach right off the stairwell practically. So it was but it was an exciting time because there's a lot of hope. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We couldn't have done anything where we had been. You wouldn't have tried to maintain things. Because you knew it wasn't going to last there. Yeah.
So what were you teaching when you came?
I taught, the subject I taught most was English. But at that time I taught Latin, French, English, and some history, I guess it was.
Yeah. Okay. About what was the size of the university when you came there?
It was about... I'll just sort of situate the, I'll tell you about the sort of prep school. We had there's no grade nine at all. There were two grade tens and two grade elevens. I think that's all we had. And then the rest was university. I suppose the whole thing would be about 550.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, this is 51 to 53. It grew each year, and it showed signs that it was going to grow.
So in what ways had the school changed from the time that you had been a student?
I'm a Jesuit myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the Jesuits instead of the Irish Christian Brothers, I suppose that made a difference. I don't know how much the Oregon person would notice that. Uh, the, uh, I suppose that we Jesuits had more obligatory education than the Irish Christian Brothers would have had. They would have all had, for high school work, at least a bachelor's degree and just some teacher training, whereas we would have perhaps two or three degrees plus teacher training. The Jesuits were not just teachers, we were a lot of other things. So that might even, whereas the Irish Christian Brothers at that time were primarily just teachers and very good teachers, and I think they've kept up that way. I don't know whether we started, I did an awful sinful thing. I graduated from St. Avex before I entered.
Oh, did you?
So my father's a doctor, and I thought I was going to be a doctor, and I finished high school when I was 15. So I was all but ready to go to Dalhousie, and my uncle was a priest and a war victim, and wrote from the hospital in England, said to my father, don't send a 15-year-old boy to Dalhousie. But my father never thought of it, and at that time, the only Catholic school that offered pre-medical training was St. Vex. So I went down there, and two of my brothers did the same thing. Well, all four of my brothers did. But two of them went down there for pre-medical studies, and all of them changed their minds. The three of us changed our minds down there, and we all became priests. One of the brothers has since left the priesthood after being he's a missionary in Africa, and he left in Africa, and he left about 20 years ago. It was less usual then. It was around the time when it was starting. It wasn't a very usual thing for a priest. Technically, they're still priests, but they are dispensed from their obligations and suspended from their privileges. So, and he eventually did marry. What was your question back there again?
I was just talking about some of the differences, you know.
Difference. I think that they, oh yes, we had more obligatory. I graduated before I entered, and before I started teaching, I had 7 years of study before I started, whereas the Irish Christian Brothers would not have that at all. They wouldn't have nearly as much as that. So one of the disadvantages of that is that I don't think we're as close to the students. They were, when we played soccer, they played soccer with us, and they played with the same enthusiasm as a kid would. Whereas when we played games with them, I think we looked more like their fathers than their brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that was one difference. They were much, their history had been one of dealing with Irish kids in Ireland, of limited financial means. So they tended to be kind of rough, you know, in discipline. I mean, there's nothing we, I can remember we had, when I took Latin, my first year in grade 9, we had a brother who strapped us every time we missed. So, but it was fun. It was just a bamboo rod, and he called it Wang Wakachu. whereas we as Jesuits, we didn't hit anybody at all. So the discipline looked, we were much more on the moral kind of discipline. To be honest with you, I think some of the kinds of things that the brothers did, you know, and they hit us a lot. They threw chalk at us, they threw brushes at us. Since about 1969, that's not been possible anywhere in Canada. Corporal punishment can happen, but there has to be an adult present when it's administered, and the adult has to be a non-student, because you've got a lot of students up in Ontario, particularly, who are 18 and still in high school. You know? Mm-hmm. So it couldn't be a student adult. Yeah. So I'd say they were more easily and spontaneously friendly with the students than we were. We always had what we called, I wasn't a priest yet. We taught as what we were called scholastics. We were Jesuits in training. We were honest, we were Jesuits, but we weren't priest Jesuits. So the scholastics were quite close to the students. The priests perhaps were not. I wasn't ordained until 13 years after I entered the Jesuits, for example, and I wasn't finished my Jesuit course until 15 years afterwards. So that, you know, that makes a difference in age. Whereas some of the brothers would be teaching, not in Nova Scotia, they only taught in high school in Nova Scotia, but some of them would be teaching in elementary school, perhaps when they were 19 years old. You know, they would have a high school and perhaps some sort of normal school. I don't think they do that now. I'm quite sure they would have to have a bachelor's degree anywhere in Canada before they would be able to teach. But it was possible then, and it was quite common. So that by the time we got them in high school, they would be older than that, but they had been teaching right from the time they were teenagers or things like that. So it made a difference. They were more friendly with even we scholastics who were younger, we wouldn't be as young as they were starting off. And I think that was a principal difference.
Mm-hmm.
I think the brothers talked much more, they were much more for teaching for exams.
Mm-hmm.
They were superb teachers, I must say.
Mm-hmm.
But we were less concerned about that. And I don't know whether there might be individuals among us who would do it that way. We'd be hardly any lay staff at all at that time. It would be a lay staff in perhaps teaching science. In high school, we just had one lay person. He's a science teacher. And then the university section, they would have, you know, people in science, commerce, and so forth. But they would be very few in number. Mm-hmm. You know, perhaps in the whole, at that time, in the early 50s, in the teaching in commerce, for example, there might be only three professors. And then in science, two or three. We usually had, except in commerce, we usually had a Jesuit in everything. And philosophy, that's two or three, and things like that. So that the numbers were way down. And the students, but we didn't have that many students, but they didn't have that many professors either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when I was down there, I knew all the professors, high school and college, even though we had nothing to do with university section, really.
Yeah.
We were using the same building, but one corner of the same building, and there was no, it was totally separate administration. No. We were a feeder school, that's what we were for. Most of our students would go on to their university of St. Mary's.
Okay.
What
difference in academics and recreational things did you see from the time you've been a student and the time you've taught?
Well, I suppose one of the biggest changes is when I started teaching and moved down here. We have facilities here that, even though they were not completed, we had no gym of our own. It wasn't completed. The gym set up, but the old gym, you know, where they put in computers and software, all that east wing, I guess they call it. Well, that was all just a shell. And so we had to borrow our facilities, and we did borrow them because in our I guess you can call it publicity stuff. This had all been promised.
Mm-hmm.
But Canadian football was this the game that's played now. That was the big difference. It was still an all-boys school. Mm-hmm. I don't know when it became probably about
68,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So, in recreation, it would be much more recreation was provided, even though we had to transport. We used to use the Halifax Forum for hockey, for example, and I used to drive the bus there. We rented the Forum for the whole Saturday afternoon, the whole of the year, and I used to have to take all the equipment backwards and forward for that. We had promised tennis courts. There were no tennis courts either. And the thing is that they ran into financial difficulties. And then it was for years that they didn't have anything in the Mallee building. All the stuff was just bare concrete in the sides and back. And it was only the front part that they got into, this blue stone that they bought from Quebec. It was... That's a whole complicated story. Maybe I can tell you something, although others could tell it more accurately, I think. Academics, well, I think I've told you a bit about that already. We would have much more. I can only tell you about the high school, for sure. But we would have, you know, more or less the same thing. I think it was more, it was just as, it's not just a question of what was happening at St. Mary's, it's what was happening everywhere in the city schools. There'd be much more student involvement, you know, student responsibility. And therefore, you had to have students' union and stuff like this and athletic association. But they would be much more in charge of it than they were when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
The I don't know. I even when I was down at St. Alex and got into some forms of student government, we had the moderator is much more important than the moderator is now. You know, I don't know whether they would even use the term moderator. In fact, the advisor or something, they might have a... And it was always... I don't remember that aspect of things. We now had... We had high school boarders when we used to have the north wing was filled with boarding. Calvin was all filled with residents. As a matter of fact, we Jesuits had to live on the north wing because our south wing, where we lived eventually, that's only about that. We moved out there about 13 years ago. We're still living there even after we had to give up the administration of the place.
Mm-hmm.
And now they live over in Wellington Street, just near here. Yeah. And they're a lot fewer than there. We have a picture up in the wall there, and I don't know how many people in there are dead. So, I would say there was the kind of development I speak of in the high school in student activities would be simply what was going on in the world. And by and large, it was not anything that was peculiar to St. Mary's. And I don't know even how, accurate my statements are, because it's 40 years ago, and I was extremely busy. Not only did I have my teaching job when I was in high school, but I had a bunch of Joe jobs that had nothing to do with the school as such. Little things like we Jesuits had reading a table. I'd read a table. I served the priests at the same time. I had my second year teaching, 52 to 53. The preceding year we had four scholastics. I inherited every one of their Joe jobs except one that didn't have any responsibility for the keys. I didn't have that chance to think. I used to get them up in the morning. I used to have to get up half an hour early. We had chapels all over the ends of all the corridors. I used to walk, I don't know how far it was, I used to look after presiding the altar, water and wine, I used to put that out. On Saturday mornings, we were trying to cut expenses everywhere. I used to spend all Saturday morning straining wine that we get in big barrels, and strain it, get all the sediment out of it.
Mm.
So there are all kinds of things. So I didn't have much chance to notice what was going around me, except what I was doing myself.
Yeah.
I was young enough to have the energy then. I couldn't do it now. Yeah.
Okay, let's see. We've covered everything. Did you find that the family backgrounds of students had changed any when you were here teaching them?
I don't think so. It might have a bit, because by this time they put up St. Pat's and QE, so that before that you had the old St. Pat's on Brunswick Street, and they had the old Halifax County Academy down on Sackville, and those were and Bloomfield, and those weren't terribly attractive places, you know, so that I could have gone to some of those from Bedford, but I would have had to pay because it was a different board. We didn't have any high school in Bedford then at all. Bedford, we only had only 1,400 people then.
Oh.
Yeah. So so it was not that hard for me to pay $60 a year to go to St. Mary's, but that was a lot of money from 36 to 39. When I went to St. Evex, I went there for boarding and everything, not including books or incidental expenses, $460, I think it was. And that was considered a lot of money. Well, I can remember when I worked in construction work in 1942, we were getting 40 as a laborer, 45 cents an hour. And that was considered very, very good. I can remember in the 30s, people were getting 30 cents an hour. In a few years' time, my youngest brothers were getting 95 cents an hour. But even that sounds like nothing, does it? So it gives you an idea of how the prices were. But the big thing is that people didn't have to come to St. Mary's now if they wanted something a little better. They had two big places right in the center of the city. People that came, maybe there was people a little more affluent. I know we have testing that out. I know lots. We had lots of kids from, from all sections of the city. A few years later, after about 5 years later, they start giving scholarships. And for one year, I think they filled. Half of them were in scholarship kids. They were trying to make the standard immediately much better. That'd be perhaps about, that'd be if it's Father Jack Power, the principal. It would be around 1958. And so that there was suddenly, at that time, but I didn't experience that at all. It's later than. Some of our boarding students would be kids who would have difficulty elsewhere. But we had some very rich boarders. But most of them is that they just needed a stronger hand, you know. And apparently, we did a lot for them. We don't see it ourselves. We just see the problems we had with them, but the parents found that we did a lot with them. We had far more boarding students when we moved down to Forestbrook than we ever had in Windsor. Windsor Street, I don't know whether there's many more than about 60. That's high school and college. There was one period when they had some part of the old Halifax Ladies College on Barrington Street, and I don't even know where that place was now, so I walked down here. It was close to Barrington and Inglis, but I don't know. I don't know what place it was at all. It used to be Halifax Conservative Music used to be there too before they combined with the Maritime Academy Conservative Music. But Halifax Ladies College, that's the forerunner of Armbray, is it?
Armbray, yeah.
Yeah, right opposite the National Research place. Mm-hmm. And that has a campus. Yeah.
Mm. That's pretty much everything I had to ask you about.
Hope you're going to have somebody else too, are you?
Oh, sure. Talking to lots of people.
Yeah.